Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, live from the WNYC studios in Soho. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, whether you're listening on the radio, live streaming this now, or listening to it on demand. I'm really grateful you're here. On today's show, we'll talk about the end of Succession with actor J. Smith Cameron, who played corporate attorney Jerry Kelman, general all-around grown-up in the room. We'll also speak with British art historian Katie Hessel. She has a new best-selling book out called The Story of Art Without Men. And we'll speak with Natalie Merchant about her album, Keep Your Courage. You know, her music was featured on the internet's favorite series about 90s kids stranded after a plane crash, which gets us to our first guest today. Let's get this started with Christina Ricci and Yellow Jacket. This weekend saw the season finale of Yellow Jackets, the wild series about a 1990 suburban New Jersey girls soccer team stranded for more than a year in the woods after a plane crash. The girls, and a few guys, resort to extremes, including cannibalism to survive. We get to know them as teenagers and now adult women who made it home and brought their trauma with them. One of the main instigators of much of the action then and now is Misty, played by Christina Ricci. New York Magazine's The Cut has declared her, quote, the most terrifying character on TV. In flashbacks, we see that young Misty and the other girls are struggling to survive a harsh winter in the wilderness. Looking for guidance, they begin to fall under the spell of Lottie, a girl who seems to have mysterious powers of foresight and a unique connection to the forest. Plus, she's been off her medication since the crash. In present day, Lottie is running a kind of commune where everyone wears purple and talks about their feelings. Misty arrives there with a new boyfriend in tow, to look for Natalie, one of the other plane crash survivors who has disappeared under mysterious circumstances. Misty is a woman who will stop at nothing, including murder, to help her friends. One by one, each of the surviving plane crash members arrive at Lottie's commune, reuniting with Natalie and each other. But being together again draws out some of the darker impulses in the women, as some of them become convinced that whatever force Lottie was communicating with in the woods has returned. All this led to a deadly showdown in the season finale, which added to Misty's growing body count. Here to help us break down the season of Yellow Jackets and take your calls is actor Christina Ricci. Hey, Christina, thank you for making time for us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Listeners, Christina is taking calls about all things Yellow Jackets. What questions do you have for her about becoming Misty? Or maybe you have a question about the filming process or the finale. Give us a call or you can text us. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. That's our phone number. If you'd like to be on the air, you can also text us as well. Social media is at All of It, WNYC. Christina, Misty is this tricky character because she does these awful things, but for the right reasons in her mind. So
yeah,
what are some of the aspects of Misty that you like or maybe even admire?
You know, she's a really fun character to play. And you know, and I guess because I'm the one who makes a lot of the choices, I feel like I understand her and she makes sense to me. You know, she's somebody who was, as a teen, we see she's not accepted by her peers. She has no social currency. And out in the wilderness is the first time that we see her being valued for her knowledge, her ability, her survival skills, you know, and her willingness and ability to kind of do what needs to be done, and not shy away from anything gross or, you know, like that. And I think what they go through out there in the woods ends up, it's so dramatic and it crosses so many lines that, you know, the returning to a sense of normalcy, the boundaries are just so big at that point, or there aren't any, or there are no limits, you know? So I think that's why for her, murder isn't really a big thing anymore.
This may be the answer to my next question, but that cut headline from New York Magazine is so funny. Misty from Yellow Jackets is the most terrifying character on TV. What do you think makes her actually scary?
I think what makes her scary is that she's, first of all, very innocuous looking. and she's bright and cheerful and in, you know, in a passive aggressive way. but at least we don't know that. She just seems harmless. But then she really is willing to do whatever it takes. And her solutions are probably not the kinds of solutions you think she's coming to. If you didn't know her, she just seems like a harmless individual, but because nothing's off limits for her, she's terrifying.
I wanted to ask about the look, because for people who haven't seen, you can go Google now. I think many of our viewers have seen. Misty has sort of this blonde halo of curls and these big owl-like glasses. Was she described in the script that way, or is that a look that you worked with the costuming on? Or tell us a little bit about what Misty looks like and how you all arrived at her look.
Well, she was described as having wild curls. And when we went to do the pilot, she's blonde as a teenager. We kind of thought it'd be fun if she had a lot of gray. So in the pilot and the first couple of episodes, I actually have gray hair, but then they switched it because they thought it was a little too much. But other than the curls and the glasses, it wasn't really all that specified. I was always very cognizant of not having her look too cartoonish, just because I knew that what I'd be doing with my face would be very large and generous. Mm-hmm. So I wanted her to kind of look like somebody that's dismissible, that you don't look twice at, or you look at and you think, oh, that person looks slightly odd. I'm just going to stay away from them. But you don't really know why. So I kind of just tried to make her look in general. First of all, her haircut is based on a haircut my mother had in the 90s. which I just suppose, and I love the curly bob. It's one of my favorite. The more sort of out of control curly bob, the better for me personally. But I know that I don't really share the same taste as everybody else. So I thought we'll use the curly bob because I love it, but other people will want to make fun of it. And then with the glasses, they kind of wanted Sally Jesse Raphael red glasses. And I just thought, it was best to really keep her just a little bit muted. We do, you know, cat sweaters and all really unflattering pastel colors. But I also wanted to keep in mind that for me, I think that this person is just someone who doesn't understand trends. She doesn't really understand social rules. And so everything that she wears is sort of like she saw someone else wearing it and thought, okay, that makes sense to me. I'll wear that. The kind of person that she finds a nice pair of pants and buys them in five different colors and just, you know what I mean? That kind of, it's more functional. She does wear a nurse, so we keep her in Crocs and socks all the time, which is one of my favorite things ever as an actor. I've never been so comfortable on any job. but really, she's meant to sort of look harmless, but also, like I said, dismissible. Somebody that people don't look twice at.
My guest, Christina Ricci, we are talking about her role as Misty on Yellow Jackets. The season finale was last weekend. We're getting a bunch of questions. Someone has texted in, Christina, how did you and the other cast members work with actors who played the younger versions of you? What was that process? Yes, the actor who plays the younger version of you is Samantha Hanratty. How does that work?
Well, it's different for each one of us, each pair. I know that some of us spent more time with our younger versions than others. For me and Samantha, we literally met at the camera test before shooting the pilot. And then before we went into season one, we had a lunch together where we shared all of the notes and references we'd been given by the EPs. Because she has a very different personality than I do. So a lot of the notes, I don't know how to describe it. So they'll give you notes based on your personality that are meant to counteract the thing in your personality they do not want in the character. So by comparing the different notes that she and I got, because we do have very different personalities, we were sort of able to really even more hone in on who she should be, because Misty was a little confusing, not confusing, but originally she was described as a sociopath. And then we wanted to step back from that because putting such a strong label on a character can limit who that character can become later on. So then it was sort of this idea of how far do we go in each direction? And it took a little, I think it took a little bit of time for both Samantha and me to find.
Let's take a call. Lloyd from Manhattan's calling in. And I think Lloyd has seen you on stage, Christina. Hi, Lloyd. You're on with Christina Ricci.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Christina. Yes,
hi.
I saw Christina Ricci in playing Hermia in A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Classic Stage Company. And Christina tucked herself into a suitcase and stayed inside the suitcase on stage for about 10 minutes. It was one of the most amazing things I had ever seen.
Well, it was a big suitcase.
Christina, are you remembering this performance?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. I waited in a suitcase and then came out.
Like, as one does on day on the job.
Yeah. You know, Midsummer Night's Dream.
This one says, question for Christina. What's uniquely Jersey about your character, and how does New Jersey play a role in the arc of the series?
Well, Connie Cypress and I are actually from New Jersey, and we're teenagers in New Jersey at this time. And I was actually on a girls' soccer team in high school. I was JV. I was on the JV soccer team.
What was the name of your team, and what town?
It was Montclair High School. I don't really remember the name.
Do you know, I grew up in Glen Ridge in the 90s.
Oh, funny.
So maybe we
used to, I was on the swim team too, the Montclair Beach Club swim team. We used to go to Glen Ridge and compete with you guys.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so I think innately the character is going to be sort of New Jersey because I have a slight New Jersey accent, you know, pronounce certain words the way that one does when they're from New Jersey, and specifically from, I'm the correct age and everything.
Okay, say the word orange.
Orange.
There you go.
I didn't know that was a specific word.
That's a very Jersey word. It comes out orange.
I know, like, I say mountain and kitten, and that's very Jersey, apparently.
Oh my gosh, our entire listening area is now in love with you. We're feeling bond and kinship. You're listening to Christina Ricci. She's my guest. We're talking about season 2 of Yellow Jackets. Go to a quick break. We'll have more with Christine after a quick break, and we'll take more of your calls and texts. 212-433-9692. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is New Jersey's own Christina Ricci. We're talking about the finale of Yellow Jackets this season. She, of course, plays Misty, who is both terrifying and innocuous, but mostly terrifying. One of the girls who is in the plane crash and helps everyone survive and make it out by any means necessary. So let's talk about Misty's boyfriend. She kind of meets her match in crime and romance. His name's Walter, and he's played by Elijah Wood, and they meet on these amateur crime-solving threads. What do they see in each other?
Well, you know, we're not... She does call him her boyfriend at the end, but none of that has been... none of that has really been, I don't know...
consummated?
Tied up yet. In the beginning... she's very put off by him. You know, this is a person who's never had really anybody actually be interested in being close to her, her friend. She's always pursuing and always being rejected by friends. So in the beginning, what was so interesting, and Elijah's so good, and he's so funny in this part, and so surprising, and the character's so great and succinct. And I think that Misty is just completely taken aback by the whole thing and ends up actually treating him the way that she's normally treated by others, which was a fun thing to play because, again, it all speaks to her maturity level. Mm-hmm. She's essentially a child, so emotionally stunted.
Let's listen to a clip from Yellow Jackets. This is where Walter and Misty are in a car driving together, hoping to track down fellow Yellow Jacket Natalie. Let's take a listen.
You can drop the whole thing now, okay? You're one of those Yellow Jackets obsessives, and I'm honored that I seem to be your favorite Yellow Jacket, but I am not going to tell you anything about what happened out there, so you can just drop me off at the next town.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what's happening. It's like I told you. I sought you out from Citizen Detective because I wanted to work with the brilliant investigative mind that is Agent African Grey. And because you dropped a Sweeney Todd reference in one of your posts. I don't care. No offense, because I'm sure it was a significant trauma, but I don't care that you are Yellow Jacket. That was like 30 years ago.
25.
And it's the least interesting thing about you.
Why does Misty ultimately let him in? A little bit.
Well, I think she wants to be loved. She wants to be accepted. She wants a friend. She wants somebody who thinks that everything she does is great instead of the usual reaction. And I think, you know, at one point this season, all of the characters sort of have these fantasy sequences and Misty has one in an isolation tank. And of course, every other character, these images are usually very disturbing, but Misty's is great. It's like a musical number and her pet bird comes to life and tells her she's awesome. But basically it's like the one moment she has of questioning herself, and her subconscious very quickly says, no, you're great. You deserve this. You should have a friend. And so she allows herself to have this friend. Who knows what will happen after the finale, though?
Our phone number.
Yes,
go.
Well, because she ends up hurting her best friend again, which she also did in the past, which she's probably going to reinforce her feelings that she doesn't actually deserve friends.
Which gets us to our next text, which I was going to say has a big spoiler alert. Been sort of getting dancing around, but I think we can get to it. This text says, so wild seeing Christina Ricci go from fishhead mermaids to Misty and Yellow Jackets. Who will become her anchor now that Nat is gone? Walter? Will Misty ever get over killing Nat? And in your mind, does she regret destroying the black box?
Well, I think that Natalie wasn't really her anchor. Natalie was her thing to do. She's like a person who always needs something to do. She has to be very proactive. I think the level of she's hyper vigilant in her refusal to dwell in the past or to feel bad about the past. So she's one of those people that always needs to be doing. And Natalie was great because she always had so many problems and Misty always had to fix something or do something or go after her or chase her. So I don't know exactly, because I'm not one of the writers. I don't know how she's going to react to Natalie's death. I don't think it's going to be good. I don't know if that'll change her behavior. I don't know if she'll all of a sudden need to do things on a crazy intense level, or if she'll all of a sudden for the first time be rendered completely unable to function. I really don't know. But I don't know what's going to replace Natalie for her.
Our phone
and I don't know that she regrets destroying the black box, because I just don't really think Misty has ever really regretted much.
Oh, that's an interesting way of thinking about it, that she does what she does and then she sort of moves on.
Exactly. Yeah. And the doing more allows her to keep her mind occupied, so she never really has to think about what she's done. And I just don't think that I know that she doesn't feel any shame about what happened to the wilderness the way the other characters do. She's not afraid of people finding out the way they are. And I think she enjoys that because it allows her to come from a more powerful place than everybody else.
This is a text. Hi from the West Village. I've loved Christina since I was 13 and saw her in Mermaids. The final scene of Yellow Jacket had me in tears because Misty seemed genuinely regretful. How emotional was playing that scene?
It was awful. It was just awful. First of all, we shot that on the very last day of the season. So it's a day, normally the last day of shooting, everybody is celebratory and excited and giving each other gifts. And then if you have to do a scene like this, it's not nice. It's not fun. Because to get yourself to that place usually requires a lot of solitude and I don't know, just being upset all day. But then aside from that, we've all of the adult cast, we've all become so incredibly close. And especially with the cast members from season one and season two, like Juliet, we all really bonded. We shot season one during COVID. So we were in Canada and none of our family couldn't come see us. We couldn't leave. So we all really became very close. So we've been through so much together, really like sisters. We've fought, we've made up, we've had like the funniest, craziest night shoots that felt like they were never going to end. We've, you know, had just some of the best times together and gone through some really terrible things together. So saying goodbye to Juliet was really, or doing the scene where Juliet dies was really emotional and really painful and very upsetting. And it was awful holding her, you know. It really felt like you were acting out a death scene of one of your very, very good friends. And that was, it was really upsetting. And we're devastated that she's not on the show anymore.
On the complete flip side, there is some dark humor in the show, some very funny moments. What do you think the role of humor is in Yellow Jackets?
Well, I think it's definitely necessary given how dark so much of the show is. And they managed to so effectively create this tone that just, when you watch it, you feel so much dread. So I think that the comedy is really necessary. But I also think that the kind of humor is really reflective of the kind of humor that comes from extreme trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole you laugh to keep yourself from crying sort of thing that occurs. So I think that the humor, and so much of the show is about trauma, about the effects of trauma on your brain, about what happens to you in the middle of these traumatic episodes, how you recover from them afterwards. And humor, this type of humor, I think is a big part of that.
Season two of Yellow Jackets just wrapped. Christina Ricci, who plays Misty, has been my guest. Christina, thank you so much for making time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me this morning.